Welcome to Free College Can Happen to You, where we can answer all your questions about getting college for free.
What's the best SAT prep material?
How do I use the SAT to get free college?
What do I need to do to get scholarships?
Here's your host, Jean Burke with College Prep Genius, the no-brainer way to SAT success.
Hi, my name is Jean Burke, and I'm with College Prep Genius, and I am so excited about being on this program today. A little bit about myself. I am from Texas, so you may get to hear little y'alls here and there, so bear with me. And I'm going to talk to you today about how free college can happen to you. I've been doing my program, College Prep Genius, for about 10 years, and I've seen thousands and thousands of students learn information and knowledge and be able to get amazing scholarships, free college, you know, even over $230,000 from Ivy League schools. So hopefully I can help you do that as well. At the end of this journey today, I hope you have a lot of information that's really going to help your family to succeed in this area. A little bit about myself, as far as my kids are concerned, I have two kids. Both were homeschooled all the way through. We went on to not only get free college, but we got free grad school, even free law school. So throughout the different segments that I'm going to be doing, different programs on this radio station, I'm going to give you lots of information that can help you in these areas as well. Now, my kids, they were homeschooled, but you know, if your kids are in public or private school, this information can help you as well. So hopefully everyone tuned in will stay tuned and listen. At the end of my story today, I will give you information on how you can get my ebook, 15 Secrets to Free College, for free. It does contain some of the cool websites I'm going to give you today, as well as a lot of other information. As we go along and I do more programs, I'm going to be talking more about high school prep and transcripts, scholarships, the PSAT, just, you know, how to chart your student, your teenager's success for not only high school, but beyond. Hopefully some of the things that I've learned over the years will really help you. You know, we are nobody and we got free college. And, you know, if it can happen to us, it certainly can happen to you as well. Now, today I'm going to be talking about just free college in general. First thing I want to talk about is the cost of college. If you've priced it lately, you know it's pretty high. You know, an average private university is probably somewhere between $80,000 to $100,000. You can definitely get some of those Ivy League schools more, and maybe even some state schools that cost you less. But $80,000, that's kind of, you know, a low price, mid-range price for a private university. So your kids, now, let's think about this. How can your kids actually earn this kind of money? Well, you know, they could work at McDonald's, $13,000 an hour. And that's going to take them about 12 years. So you want to start your kids in kindergarten at McDonald's. And that way when they graduate, you know, they'll be all ready and have enough money to go to college. Another thing they could do is mow about 3,200 lawns. And that's probably going to take them somewhere around 64 summers to do that. Or they could babysit for 2,500 Friday nights. Oh boy, that's going to take them about 48 years. So as you can see, it's, you know, a lot of work to try to get somewhere around $80,000. But, you know, obviously there is an easier way, and that is scholarships. Scholarships are money that you don't have to pay back. You know, you earn them and they are yours. So the first way I want to talk about is how to ace the SAT monster. That's one of the things that you've got to do in order to get into college. Later on, I'm going to be doing a program on step-by-step guide on how to actually ace the test. But that is that first obstacle that you've got to get through. Now, the reason why the SAT is so important, because this is the college, entrance exam that most colleges use for entrance to get into college. And of course, it determines your eligibility for scholarships. The higher your score, certainly the more money you get. Colleges go up on their rankings nationally based on their test scores. So, of course, the higher your score, the more money you get, because basically you make them look good. Now, the reason why the SAT tends to be the most important thing for your child when it comes to getting to college, and in many cases even more than the GPA, is because, as you know, a 4.0 at one high school is not the same 4.0 at another high school. All high schools weigh and calculate their scores differently. So, you know, your child might go to a really hard school or take really hard classes at home, and another child has an easy time and very easy courses, and they have the same GPA. But the SAT levels the playing field. It equals everybody out. This is how the colleges can compare your child against somebody else's child. Now, the reason why this test is so daunting to most students is because they don't realize it's really just a time management test. You only get about a minute per question. That's it. And that's why most students will tell me they can't finish the test on time. It's kind of their biggest complaint. But keep in mind, this is a weeding out process. And the cool thing about these tests are that basically every question can be answered in 30 seconds or less. It really is that simple. But most students are used to working out every problem the long way and doing everything the wrong way. But they really can be answered very quickly. It actually costs the College Board $625,000 to make one test. Wow, that's a lot of money. And that's because they make sure that every test, every question, every answer choice is the same as the rest. That's why it's a learnable test. It's a standardized test. It's about 3 hours and 45 minutes long. And the cool thing is there's only one right answer. This test is always objective. But the thing is, these questions are purposely written to be misleading, and they make the wrong answers look very appealing. And this is why a lot of students get a lousy score. But the test just tests the same basic set of concepts and standards every single time. Now, what we've done over the years is we've shown your students basically how they can cut their time in half, how they can answer every question correctly. And, you know, we also show them why the right answer is right and, of course, why the wrong answers are wrong. This way they don't get tricked by those again in the future. Now, let me give you a few important facts about the SAT. Now, the most score that your child can get is a 2400. Each section is worth 800, and there are three sections. Now, the SAT is offered 7 times a year. The first one of the year is in October, and the last one of the year is in June. The great news is there are no penalties for taking the SAT as many times as you want. You could take it all 7 times each year if you want. Because what the College Board does is basically they give you what's called score choice. Score choice allows you to pick the scores that you want and send them to the schools that you want whenever you want. Since colleges basically take the highest scores anyways, it does not matter how long or how many times you take the test. And most schools have what's called a super score. Now, the super score is where, let's say your child takes the SAT one time and gets a really great math score, but then again, they take it another time and they get a really good critical reading score. Well, colleges will love to take one high score from one test and one high score from another test, put them together, and give you what's called the super score, which, of course, gives you a higher overall score, and of course, ultimately, it means more money for your child. Now, when it comes to paying for the test, the fee information is on their website, which is the College Board website. It's around $50 to take the test. Now, if you cannot afford the test, most high schools have what's called waivers. Now, waivers are available whether your child goes to that school or not, whether you're homeschooled or you belong to that school. And these waivers will defer testing costs. And you can get up to 4 free tests per year in the junior and the senior year. You can also get your PSATs paid for, your subject tests paid for. So you would just basically want to see the local guidance counselor at a high school near you. Now, when it comes to signing up for the SAT, the best way to do it is either online at collegeboard.com, or you can do it by mail as well. Now, when I talk about myths on the SAT in my program, I go over about 13, but I want to go over about 3 here for brevity's sake. My myth number 1 is the SAT tests your students' knowledge. It's all about how smart they are, how much they've learned in school. Actually, that is not true. This is a logic test, a reasoning and critical thinking test. And like I said earlier, these questions are designed to trick your student. This is why most students don't do very well. I've had many valedictorians come to my class. I have parents call me every week and, you know, they give me almost the same story. My child has a 4.3 and they're an honor student and an AP student. And yet every time they take the SAT, they always bomb it. This doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And the reason why it doesn't make sense is because this is not a test about what you've learned in school. It's really all about how to take the test. And, you know, I know that's not fair. It's not fair that your child goes to a great school or you homeschool them and you teach them so much great curriculum, but yet it all comes down to taking the test. And, you know, I tell everybody that's just the game they play. And so in order to win, you just have to learn to play the game. Now, myth number two, take the SAT in your senior year. Now, if you've got a senior right now, keep in mind there are 7 times to take the test. And, of course, you can keep taking it up until, you know, usually most colleges let you take it up until June and turn in a better score each time. And there are some colleges that will even let you take the test after you get into enrolled into their school and then take it and get a better score. Keep that in mind. But, again, your goal is to try to get the test over with as soon as you can. Don't wait until the senior year. Even though there's no age limit on it, you can graduate from high school, you can still take the SAT. Ideally, the goal is to take the test before you're a senior. You know, by the time that your child's a senior, there's a lot of decisions going on, college decisions and graduation and, you know, things like that. You want to be able to not stress over it in the senior year. Ideally, make the senior year test optional. Get it over with before you're a senior. Myth number three, you have to spend large amounts of money to really ace this test and do well. Well, you know, I don't know about where you live, but we here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there's several very, very expensive prep schools. And many of them cost anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000. But keep in mind, just because you spend thousands of dollars does not make it a program that's going to work. Many programs have a lot of busy work. They have, you know, your child learning thousands and thousands of vocabulary words and tons of math concepts. But and those are both great things, don't get me wrong. But those have nothing to do with this test. This is not a content-based test. It's a logic test. So you can't study for the test. You have to study the test itself and how the college board uses the same recurring patterns over and over again. And that really should not cost you a lot of money. We couldn't afford some kind of several thousand-dollar program. We didn't have any money for college, much less that. Now, let me talk a moment about the ACT. A lot of people want to know, okay, SAT, ACT, which one do I take? Which college takes which one? Well, about 20 years ago, it did make a difference on which test you took depending on what college you went to. If you were planning on going to, let's say, a college up north, they preferred the ACT. If you were planning on going to college maybe on the West Coast or the East Coast or down south, they preferred the SAT. Nowadays, it does not matter. Every single college, 100% of all colleges will take either one. Doesn't matter. Now, they're similar tests in the fact that both are used for entrance exam and both are used for scholarships. They're different in the fact that the SAT is logic-based and the ACT is content-based. So in other words, on the ACT, you're going to run into some trigonometry and some science and some physics. But the good news is that many of my students who've taken my program over the years have also done very well on the ACT. They raised it a few points or gotten a perfect score because there's a crossover. There is critical thinking, so strategies that you learn can also help you on the ACT. Now, if the college that your child wants to go to, if they prefer one test over the other, what they will do is they will convert the score. So in other words, let's say your child got a 1300 on the SAT critical reading and math section. That is considered a 29 on the ACT or vice versa. Now, obviously, especially homeschoolers, they need to learn how to ace this test because it validates their transcript. It's what the colleges are looking for. Now, on the test, there are 3 parts. There's critical reading, which has two parts, passage-based reading and sentence completion. The math section has two parts, multiple choice and student response. And then the writing portion on the SAT has sentence error, improving sentences, improving paragraphs, and what most students hate, the dreaded essay. Now, I also want to talk about the PSAT. Don't neglect this test. Most people are clueless of what this test really is. They really don't understand. They think it's some kind of practice test, some kind of practice SAT that doesn't mean anything. But the P does not stand for practice. The P stands for the word preliminary. And the full name is PSAT/NMSQT, or National Merit Scholarship Qualifying Program. This is the one test that when your child takes it and it counts in their junior year, it can actually get them a full ride to just about any college they want to go to. Now, kind of a quick background about us, for example. You know, when my son Josh was in ninth grade, we literally had no money for college. Zero, not one penny. And my friend mentioned to me one day that, you know, you could get free college off the SAT or PSAT. And I thought, wow, that might be our venue, our way to get some college money. So when Josh, we started just really working on the test and practicing and, you know, just trying to find out what works and what doesn't work. And long story short, he became a National Merit Scholar, and we literally threw away seven trash bags full of college offers. Seven. He got full ride, full tuition, room and board, grad school money, money to study abroad in other countries. Then my daughter went on to get scholarships and free college, and then all my friends wanted to know, hey, what'd y'all do to get free college? So if you're out there wanting to know, hey, I just want to get one free ride somewhere, I'm going to show you how to do that. Now, the PSAT is only offered once a year in October, and I highly recommend that your students take it in the 9th and 10th grade. Now, the junior year is the only year it counts for scholarships, but the reason why you want them to take it in both 9th and 10th grade is because, first of all, those 2 years do not count, and they actually can get their test booklet back, so that way you can go through it, see what their weaknesses are, see what you need to work on. If your child goes to public or private school, then it would come to the school. But if you're homeschooled, you would use the homeschool code for your state. You could find that, depending on what state you live in, on the College Board website. For example, I live in Texas, so the Texas homeschool code is 994499. The 44, the two numbers in the middle, are what my state is alphabetically. Now, the PSAT is very similar to the SAT. The same people who write the SAT questions write the PSAT questions. Now, the only difference between the tests is there's no Algebra 2 or essay on the PSAT. And it's shorter. It is 2 hours and 20 minutes long, as opposed to the SAT, which is 3 hours and 45 minutes long. Now, there are three initial levels of awards. There is what's called commendable, the semi-finalist, and then the finalist award. Now, scholarships are going to vary depending on what state you live in. So, for example, I live in Texas. So, Texas is around a 216 semi-finalist cutoff the last few years. That's kind of an average. You know, Florida is about 211, and Alaska is about a 204. Now, if your child gets that number, that cutoff number, they will be called semifinalist. Now, if they don't quite make semifinalist, maybe they fall 5-10 points below that, they will be commended. But if they do go on and they do make semifinalist, it is very easy to become a finalist. And when you tune into my program on the secrets of the PSAT, I will show you how easy it is. And if you do become a finalist, they will take 8,000 of those students to become National Merit Scholars. And like I said, full ride, full tuition, room and board, grad school money. Basically, colleges love to have National Merit Scholars at their school because it's a bragging right for them. All right, another way to get free college is be low income. And you might be thinking, hey, I am. No, let me tell you what I mean. There are actually 72 colleges that will give your child free college based on the income. And an average of those are somewhere between $40,000 to $65,000. But there are some of them that will even consider $100,000 as low income. And some of these are even Ivy Leagues like Harvard, Brown, Duke, Princeton, Rice. And here's a really cool thing. Did you know that you never have to pay more than 10% to go to Harvard? For example, let's say if your income falls between $120,000 and $180,000, they have what's called grading scale tuition, which means you don't have to pay more than 10% of your income. Pretty cool. Now, here's a website where you can learn about these 72 colleges. It is www.finfinaid.org/questions/noloansforlowincome.html. And if you tune into the end, I'm going to give you the directions on how you can get that ebook for a penny that does contain these websites. Now, another thing about colleges is there are many that will actually cap their loans at $5,000. So if you want to find out more about them, where you never have to pay more than $5,000, go to projectonstudentdebt.org/pc_institution.php. And there are actually colleges that love to give scholarships to students who have low GPAs. They call it We Love a Challenge. And to find out more about them, you want to go to www.ctcl.org. Now, another way to get free college is to eat your way to free college. That sounds like a great plan. Let me talk to you about a program called You Promise. This is where you can actually get anywhere from 1 to 25% back on everyday purchases. So if you go out to eat, there are over 8,000 restaurants that participate. There are over 600 participating retailers online. So, you know, chances are that you're going to, you know, probably eat today more than once and buy groceries this week and buy gasoline or buy something online the next few weeks. Every time you do this, you can actually get money back going to your child's education. And the great thing is you can make it a family affair. In other words, get your family and friends on board. So every time that they go out to eat or every time that they buy groceries or buy something online, that money, that percentage of the money can go back to your child's education. And the website to find out more about this one is called youpromise.com. Now, one of the things that you're going to want to do is ASAP is do what I call fill out the FAFSA ASAP. Now, the FAFSA is the free money that the government gives out to students. And now, even if your child has a full scholarship, you still are going to have to fill out the FAFSA. Now, what you want to do is you want to set up a PIN number for each of your children as soon as possible. And the way to do that is go to www.pin.ed.gov. Now, make sure when you set that PIN number up that you write that number down somewhere. You can store it in LastPass online, you know, put it somewhere in a safe place because you're going to use that PIN number every single year your child is in college. If they go on to grad school or go on to law school, you will need that same PIN number. That's why it's very important that you keep a track of it. Now, the earliest that you can apply for the FAFSA is January 1 of your child's senior year. And I recommend that you apply January 1. Yes, you do not want to wait to March or April when most students start thinking about this. By then, there's a lot of money gone. Most of the free money's already gone. Now, to go apply for on January 1, you're going to want to go to www.fafsa.ed.gov. Now, be very, very careful. Do not go to FAFSA.com. Someone has bought that website out, and they will charge you to do the FAFSA. It is absolutely free, so be very careful. Now, it takes about an hour to fill out the FAFSA, and they even have a worksheet that you could even do ahead of time. Now, what you're going to want to do is have everything, you know, right there with you when you start to fill it out. Certainly, Social Security numbers, W-2 forms, you know, income tax returns. And I know by January 1, you know, you haven't filed your taxes yet. So what you're going to want to do is have, you know, like your last pay stub or information from last year, and you can just put some kind of estimation into the form. You can always come back and edit it later. You know, of course, parents' tax returns, if your child's a dependent, bank statements, that sort of thing. So you want to do that as soon as you can. Now, certainly the first step to getting free college, whether you it's based on your income or scholarships or a sports scholarship or whatever, is your child is still going to have to meet that minimum SAT score. Now, hopefully you downloaded the notes that go with the program. And on the notes, there are four questions for you to work. So I want you to work those four questions. These are test questions, and I'm going to show you the recurring patterns and fast ways to work these problems. So go ahead right now, look at the question. Hopefully you may have already done them ahead of time. And if you have, great. If not, take some time right now. And I want you to work those four questions. All right, you may not got to all of them yet. Remember I said in the beginning that these test questions can be answered in 30 seconds or less. You know, most students are going to read the question and they're going to read all five answers and try to find one that fits. Remember, that's not the key to doing well in this test. Let me give you an example. Question number one. Now, this is called sentence completion. This is where your student will be given a question that will have one or two blanks, and they have to find, you know, the answers that fit correctly into the blank. Or two blanks. Although the eyewitness's story about the trolley car accident at first appeared blank, the investigator was later astonished after viewing the tapes to discover it was blank. Now, a lot of students read the sentence and they, you know, they find an answer that sounds good, but there are actually eight key elements to look for in a sentence that will point you to the answer. In this case, it's the first word, although. Although means opposite. It means that we're going to have opposite answers, maybe something positive, negative, or negative, positive, or something like hot and cold. So if you look at the answer choices, and then you look at the sentence, and you realize, wait a minute, this sentence can go either way. It could first appear something positive and later discover negative, or it could appear negative and discover something positive. Well, of course, this is still logic, and so there's going to always be a way out. Notice A and D are both positive, and B and E are both negative, and C is the only answer that's opposite. Did you get that one right? Hopefully so. Good for you. Now, this math question, oh boy, wow, did you get to this one? Did it take you forever? Well, the correct answer on this one is 68, and you know, you may have worked the whole thing out, and most students do. And if you did, and you did it right, you would get 68. But let's look at the question here. It is not asking us to work it out. It says, for all values of X, what's the value of C? So that means I can pretty much disregard everything that has nothing to do with X. I can mark out X cubed, X squared, D, all those. That simply leaves me with 3x plus 7 and 8x plus 4. So all you have to do is FOIL only what you need to FOIL. Multiply 7 times 8, which is 56, 4 times 3, which is 12, and that gives you 68. C replaces x because it's the coefficient. All right. Good job. And this is called improving sentences. This is taken from the writing portion. This is where your child will be given a sentence where all of it or part of it will be underlined. And you have to find the answer that's the best restatement. Now, most students in this case, they're going to read the sentence, and then they're going to read all five answers to find out which one works. That is absolutely a waste of time and very confusing. Notice the five answer choices. Notice the pattern here. Notice the first three, A, B, and E, all start off with the words, the city's twisting roads. And C and D start off with the Davis family. This tells us that right away, we can eliminate two or even three answers. So let's look at the word right before the underlying portion, residence. We have to modify residence. So are we going to start off with the twisting roads or the Davis family? Exactly, the Davis family. They are the residents. So we can automatically eliminate A, B, and E. 60% of your answers are automatically gone. Now we only have two answers. The Davis family was confused by the city's twisting roads, or the Davis family who found the city's twisting roads confusing. Yes, C is correct. Good job. It is clear, concise. It certainly makes the most sense. And of course, preparation, not volume, is the key to doing well on this test. Good job. Very good. Now, that's a little glimpse into the SAT per se. Later on, I'm going to talk on another program. I'm going to talk about how to ace a test. And in an upcoming program, I'm going to show you how to earn $500 an hour for college. Well, I am so glad that you tuned in today. I really appreciate it. We taught kids how to ace the SAT for years. If you want to know more about how to get free college and how to ace these tests, you know, you can go to my website, www.collegeprepgenius.com. We talk about how to ace the program, how you can make money with our program. Now, to get the ebook for a penny, it's called 15 Secrets to Get Free College. Go to my website, collegeprepgenius.com. Click on 15 Secrets to Free College. It's an ebook. And put the code RADIO, R-A-D-I-O, and that will get you the ebook for a penny. It's normally $9.95. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it for free. PayPal wouldn't let me. There's also a $5 off code in the very back of it for any products that we have on our website. And I'm so thankful that you joined today. I really appreciate it. Again, feel free to peruse our website. We have a lot of frequently asked questions. And until next time, I'm going to give you some really great tips for your teenagers and how to get free college and get scholarship money. Again, thank you so much, Jean Burke, and I will see you soon.